Warning. According to the Surgeon General, women should not drink alcoholic beverages during pregnancy because of the risk of birth defects. Consumption of alcoholic beverages impairs your ability to drive a car or operate machinery and may cause you to become confused as to what liquids you should drink and liquids that you shouldn't, such as liquids with volatile sensitivity to changes in temperature and or pressure, liquids that require two mechanical seals to stay put, non-lubricating liquids that produce gases and or solids that may or may not be abrasive, liquids that are seriously goddamn sensitive to agitation, liquids that react with each other to form a solid, which is an absolute nightmare, take it from Sick Puppy, or limitlessly lubricating liquids, a nightmare at the other end of the spectrum, take it from Spoon, and lastly, anything at all consumed by the boys at
shouldidrinkthat.com.
Hey everyone, Sick Puppy is not here. Brad, or whatever you want to call him, he's not here. He's kind of on the road. Instead, you've got me, the Most Reverend Father Spoon for shouldidrinkthat.com, and a guest.
A guest. Hey guys, it's Uncle Crappy. I've been here before. I've tried to fill in for Sick Puppy before, and as we know, those shoes are impossible to fill properly, but I'm going to do my best here on this episode. I've been told last time I was on, I think we were in a beer at the Bay and Erie, and I was told I needed to curse more. Is that what you recall?
Probably happened. There's a very good chance.
Okay. I'll work on that tonight.
Welcome to shouldidrinkthat.com episode 100. As you can see, Uncle Crappy is with us. Sick Puppy is not here. For our 100th episode, unfortunately, we're just going to jump right into it. What's going on? 8-year anniversary, a lot of things have changed in our lives. And Brad, Sick Puppy, whatever you want to call him, Inglorious Bastard.
I like that one.
Maybe I should call him that more often. and maybe he's watching us right now. I don't know. He could be. So Brad is... he's gone through life changes, nothing like drastic or anything like that, but like professionally, like good life changes with work. And he is working a lot more now. So he is on the road a lot more, which kind of leads to why we've had almost 3 months in between. We weren't really sure what we were going to do with the show. We decided we do have to have a 100th at least. We owe it to you guys after 8 years to come out with 100, and I was getting thirsty. I'm also still unemployed, so what else am I going to do? Look for a job? No, of course not. I'm going to drink beer online with you guys. So Brad is going to take a little break from the show, focus on his job and his career, which is just taking off. So you might see more shows. I might do them once a week. I don't know. I might drag and drink Uncle Crabby in here more often. We'll see what happens.
That would be good with me. I'm still not going to be able to even as he travels, trying to keep up with the beer that he comes across, especially in the South. I see cans and bottles at the breweries that I have never heard of. So, it sucks that he can't be here. But Jesus, guys, he appears to be doing okay with the travel and the stuff that he's getting to try as he gets around the country.
Well, I will say that. There are currently 12 beers in my basement that he's brought back that he keeps saying, dude, these are show beers. Don't drink them. And then he leaves. I'm like, wait, well, how are we supposed to do this? And I asked him last time, I'm like, all right, dude, I have half a case of beer in my basement. Mm-hmm. We have to sit down, drink the beers. Let's do the show. And he's like, yeah, I got called. I got to leave again. Sorry. Or, you know, I got to work a double. I got to work a triple. Something's going on. I can't do it. I'm like, all right. What am I going to do? So they're still sitting down there. We'll see. I told him that there's a Best Buy date, so we'll see if he actually is here to drink those by then, which we don't usually believe those dates, but who knows?
It's more of a guideline than an actual rule.
Well, we'll see what happens. But I do want to thank everyone, first and foremost, for being fans of the show for 8 years. I'm still trying to figure out how we've made it 8 years, but you guys keep downloading, so I guess we're going to keep making shows. That's the best I can come up with. Thanks. Yeah, you're listening, I'm talking, and now we've got Uncle Crappy. So Here you go.
The hundred show thing is very, very cool. And I, you know, I can count myself as a fan of the show. And even as I've been lucky enough to be on a couple times here and there, I mentioned filling in for Brad up in Erie a couple years ago, the day of starting with glasses of mead at 10 o'clock in the morning. I think that was a particularly good one. But what you guys have done has been really awesome, really entertaining. And I'm happy to have been a very, very small part of it.
You've been a big part of it though too. You've written about us.
Yes.
Which is
deserve it.
It's made my mom happy because her son's in print for something that doesn't have like Arrested 4. I think Brad's family's happy about that also.
Okay, that's good.
Both of our families were like, "Wow, that kid's made it into the paper. They didn't get busted." It worked. So the beers that we have tonight this is also something that I've been waiting to do, and I'm really excited that they're here. Mm-hmm. Finally, Deschutes is in Pittsburgh now, and next week is going to be kicking off their big festivities. I guess it's the 20th through the 24th. And of course, as I said, I was so organized, I can't find my paper that I had sitting here, which I blame the kids on.
Oh, those guys. I didn't. Of course, I didn't bring the release home either. but I have the exact same thing that you do.
I'm looking around. Where'd it go? I had, you know what? I lose everything around here because I try to get organized, and I get over-organized. But there will be a list of events that are going on here. This is the cool thing that I like about the shoots and when new breweries come into Pittsburgh is it's not just like a one-and-done thing. They plan out almost an entire week of different things that are going to be happening around here. Like they really embrace the local community and want to make sure that you get out there and you start to enjoy things. It starts May 20th. There's an event from 6 to 9 called Hats Off to Homebrewers. It's going to be happening over at the Hop Farm Brewing Company, one of the new companies around town that's here. I have not been there yet.
I've done a show there, and Kelly and I actually got tickets for this. I'm really, really stoked for this one, both for the beer samples. I've been impressed by Hop Farm. And then some of the snacks from Wild Purveyors. I think this was going to be a pretty cool little event that they have going Tuesday night. So we are looking forward to that one.
Well, for $17, you get the commemorative sniffer, eight beer samples, a small plate, like you said, from Wild Purveyors, and entry for $100 South Hills Home Brew Supply gift certificate and clone recipes.
And that's a limited pool. That's 50 tickets already sold out. So. That winning that grand prize would be okay with me too.
What I dig with that is so that they're getting the homebrewers involved, which is fantastic. Yep. If you are a homebrewer, you can stock up big time at South Hills. if you're getting into homebrewing, that's enough for or at least a basic starter kit and probably a homebrew kit. So you can get the equipment and you could also get the kit to make your first batch of beer. So it sounds like a very cool event.
Or in my case, if you're a failed home brewer and you want to try again, boom, there you go.
We've got the community here to help. We'll grab a case. We'll stop over with the equipment. We'll get you going again.
Okay.
Because nothing makes homebrewing better than drink. Well, Brad says you're not supposed to drink while you homebrew. I've never seen him dry during a homebrewing experiment. So I'll let it go at that.
Okay.
He doesn't homebrew anymore, but... Okay. When he did, there's always something to drink close by. events are going to run until Saturday the 24th, and we'll have a full list of everything on the shouldidrinkthat.com website. There's so many things listed here. I wish I could tell you all, but that would take up the entire show. But there are meet and greets that are going to be planned for Giant Eagle Market Districts at Whole Foods, at Packin' Dogs, at Buddy's Brews on Carson, Save More Beer and Pop Warehouse, just a ton of things. To say, hey, Pittsburgh, here's who we are, and they want to meet you. Mm-hmm. And we want to meet them because they've got free beer.
I am impressed with the list that they put together and in the time that they're going to spend in the next week getting around to different places. They are they're doing this right. And fortunately, the beer that I've tasted so far is worthy of all this fuss.
So which ones have you had so far?
We had some taste of a couple things in Ohio because they showed up in Ohio. I think I want to say in December. I could be wrong about that. We saw them in a couple of our regular stops. Probably in January for our when we were stocking up for a Groundhog Party. I know for certain I've had the Black Butte Porter. Actually went back to get more of that during our Groundhog weekend because I was really impressed with that. We've had a taste of and one of the others that we've had that we each got in our mailed pack here, the white IPA. I really dig that. That's a very different take on kind of both styles. Interesting combination. But there's a lot more that I need to get a hold of before I can make a full judgment of the brewery. But so far, I've been digging it.
Looks like we're going to be able to do that this evening.
Okay.
And a quick hi to Viola, who just sent us a message on the Q&A. If you're watching us on the Google right now, send out a link via Twitter. If you're watching us on there, you can submit questions via the Q&A. Please go ahead and do that. So hi, Viola. Hello. All she said was hello. So there you go. There's your shout back. All right. So for those of you unfamiliar, we're going to do this one. We're going to kind of give you a brief overview of Deschutes, and then we're going to jump right into the beers because I'm thirsty. I'm sure you're thirsty, Uncle Crappy.
Yes. Yes. Right? Yes.
So Gary Fish established Deschutes Brewery and Public House as a small brew pub in 1988 in downtown Bend, Oregon, which is way away from us, other side of the country. And it was actually named after the Deschutes River. Education for you. Had no idea there was a river called this. Gary emphasized a community-based approach to his business, stating, "We want people to feel that this is, in a lot of ways, theirs. The brewery sold 310 barrels of beer in its first year, and by 1992, sales were up 3,954 barrels. Unable to keep up with the demand in its original facility, the brewery expanded to 16,000 square foot production brewery in 1993 with the ability to brew in 50 barrel batches." Yikes. That's a serious expansion back then.
Mm-hmm.
When that's the Pete's Wicked Ale days when those were starting, when that was booming.
Back then, yeah, that's about the same time, yeah.
Not that I'm comparing them to them, but a lot of people try to think back to, okay, what kind of craft beer might have been around in 1993?
No, that's a good call.
Deschutes now has a brewing facility with two brew houses distributing its beer in 21 western and midwestern states. I think it's a little bit more than that now. I pulled this information off the internet, but I believe that it could be more than that. Deschutes Brew Pub opened in the Pearl District of Portland, Oregon, in May of 2008, and they've just been booming since then. I hear the name everywhere, and this is my first time having them. So thank you for bringing your beers to Pennsylvania. This is going to be pretty cool. I'm pretty excited. One other thing I did want to bring up, too. In 2012, the brewery expanded its brewing facility by 6,700 square feet, which allows an additional 105,000. Jeez. Barrels to be brewed per year. New equipment installed will contain a water reuse system, saving the company thousands of gallons of water per year, as well as a carbon dioxide capture system from the fermentation process, which will decrease the waste to the city sewer system. That is just wow.
Good stuff.
I love it when they get inventive with stuff like mm-hmm. that. You can't say that brewers don't do their part to, well, besides make it feel good, they make the world feel good, too. They're kind of giving back and recycle, reduce, reuse. They're living up to that.
Absolutely.
So
can we drink something now?
I am very thirsty. I had to get through the formal stuff first. This is always like the worst part of the show. You got to do all the talking, but now we do the drinking.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see what we got here. So our first beer is going to be... Let me grab it. I've got the Mirror Pond Pale Ale.
You will notice that my bottle is already open, and I have a partial glass poured. That's because this is the one we had not tried yet, and Mrs. Crappy said she needed a taste.
That's a good reason.
Before I took this up here and hogged the entire bottle for myself. I will tell you, I will explain more what she said, but I know that the review was good.
The review was good?
Yeah.
That works for me.
Yeah.
So to kick off an anniversary show, I thought it would be fitting that I am drinking from my Foundry Ale Works glass.
Very nice.
The very defunct, but if it wasn't for them, we would not have East End Brewing.
Well, and hey, synchronicity, my East End Brewing snifter. Right.
Oh, check. Now see, look at that. Beer through the years here. All right, as I'm pouring this, getting there. We have some audio clips for you guys from Deschutes. This one, is going to be, let's see who said this, but this is going to be coming from Deschutes, talking about.
When I found out we were going to be moving to Bend, Oregon, I immediately started trying to get a job at Deschutes Brewery. Mirror Pond is a. It's kind of beautiful in its simplicity, you know. We brew it in 145 barrel batches. Going into that, there's 7,000 pounds of malt, which is all made up of only three varieties. And so as a brewer and as a consumer, it's just a really simple beer to fall in love with. It's kind of appropriate that it's named after the very center of Bend. I mean, everything, all the big festivals and everything kind of revolve around the pond, you know, and Mirror Pond is aptly named because a lot of our activities at the brewery revolve around Mirror Pond Pale Ale, and it's enabled us to do a lot of other things. I'm primarily a production brewer. I actually consider it a really important part of the brewing community that there are brewers who take pride in being able to come in, you know, in the middle of the night and work a graveyard shift, and their counterparts at the pub who develop the recipes know that they can count on them to come in at 3 in the morning and brew a brew like Mirror Pond through the night without making any mistakes. If Mirror Pond were an animal, I think it would probably be a golden retriever or a yellow lab, and there to provide comfort. And, you know, it's kind of got the unconditional love thing going. Mirror Pond, damn tasty beer.
I think that's a great way to sum it up. Damn tasty beer.
the idea of this being Labrador Retriever beer. I think that one works as well too. That's pretty good.
So this comes in at 5% ABV, 40 IBUs. All right. First of all, I'm surprised that they only use Cascade in this. Mm-hmm. I love Cascade. Is one of my favorite hops, so I'm not going to have any problems with that. A lot of the beers I've had lately, you don't just see one type of hop. You see two, three, four, use somewhere in it. It's either for flavoring or they're using it for aroma. This is just straight up Cascade, so I'm loving that.
Father Spoon is a happy boy.
I am a very happy boy about that. I'm not familiar with all the hops or with the malt that they use, but wow. It's got a very hop forward aroma on it. The flavor, you're getting the hops up front, but it's mellowing out, I think, with the malt. It looks gorgeous. There's my camera.
It does. And the flavor matches. This is like a really deep bottom here. It's impossible to avoid the Cascade. It's impossible to avoid the hops right up front, then, because that is what this beer is about. But man, when you take a swallow, there's a really deep malty, maybe a little caramel. Did something a little sweet and a little rich that goes all the way through this as well. And I love that balance. I love that balance. You get the hops right in your face, right in front, and then it finishes kind of on the other end. But this is really good stuff.
It poured a gorgeous head.
Mm-hmm.
go back to my Erie roots. It had a nice collar on it. Though I was never around to drink Kohler, I know all of its slogans. We have a question that came in, or a comment that came in for our buddy Hutch, who said the Tukey episode had some winners. For those of you who have been listening for a very long time, the Tukey episode was when we did a show dedicated to 40s. Oh, that did not end well. That's when Brad and I drove down to Oakland. We went to the Dirty O, and we stocked up on 40s.
Right.
And when we came back, we also had we had to stop at the State Store in Cranberry, and we picked up a bottle of Mad Dog 2020.
Because that fits, sure.
It does. We figured we'd go for the whole shebang, and two 30-something guys with shaved heads walking into the O to buy 40s, and then coming back to Cranberry and buying the Mad Dog. Of course, we're not gonna get looks. Oh. I mean, I think that was probably one of our favorite shows that we've ever done, though. Mm-hmm. Was that one, because we just said the hell with it. Let's just do it. See what happens. I think it was episode 11, so nobody was really like we were starting to get a fan base, but not that many people were listening that were like, screw it, let's do whatever we want.
This is pre or post 120, Chuck?
It was the month before, I think. Okay. 2 months. Okay. Let's see, wait, when did that happen? That happened in 07. Hey, that was March of 07.
Okay.
And this happened in December of 06, and I only remember this because we did it like. Mm-hmm. 3 days, I think, before my dad passed.
Oh, jeez.
And then, of course, like one of the first shows after that, we do the 120. So.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, that was a strange time for us.
Sure. I understand.
But a fun one. At any rate, so, you like it? Dig it?
I do. I am not one who normally worries about calories and that kind of stuff. But that's impressive.
I'm really, really digging this beer. Uh-huh. To the point that I have family members that will not drink craft beers just because they feel like they're going to be snobs if they do.
Right.
It's in everything, I guess. Right. And I've told them, it's like, I will find a beer for you that will bring you over to my side. Mm-hmm. And I think this is the beer. I think they're going to try this and go.
Yeah, that could be. That really could be. This is a nice balance. The hops don't go crazy on you. I think that has potential right there. Yeah.
I don't want to say that it's a gateway beer, but it is. But mm-hmm. It's not. It's mm-hmm. a delicious craft beer, but I think that a lot of people getting into craft beer are going to mm-hmm. like it. Craft mm-hmm. beer fans are going to love this. Mm-hmm. Which most of them already know about it because we're like the last ones to get it. So. Welcome to Pennsylvania.
I've been putting up with college friends of mine who like live in Cincinnati and stuff, and they've had this for several months now. It's like, is it there yet? Is it there yet? I'm like, give me a couple more weeks. They've been very happy that it finally.
It's like those guys that get New Belgian too. New Belgian is like all around Pennsylvania, but it's not here yet.
Yes, probably not in
the Marks.
probably not until the new brewery in North Carolina is done. That's my understanding, but we're on the list. Not that I would condone bootlegging of any kind, but Ohio isn't that far away.
Or if you're a little bit south of us, Maryland is pretty close too.
It's true.
Not that I didn't stock up there when I was passing. That's one of the things that always killed me is it. Uh-huh. The police and everyone always says, you cannot bring booze across the border. But who's really going to enforce that? Are you going to stop me for a six pack? Mm-hmm. No. If I'm driving a truck across state lines with a runner in front of me, you're probably going to knock me over.
Sure. If Jerry Reed's in one of those vehicles, saying about a long way to go and a short time to get there, then yeah, probably.
If Jerry Reed's in a truck driving right now, we got a lot more problems than that. We've got zombie truck drivers to worry about.
Oh, there's the movie that needs to happen. There's the movie that needs to happen.
Convoy with zombies.
Zombie convoy. Come on. Come on.
We've got Sharknado, so this could happen. All right. Well, next one up on the list. I'm just plowing right through this. So this is what I like. We're going right through them. All right. So the next one, I've been waiting to try this style. Mm-hmm. And it's, I'm still questioning if this is an IPA or if it's a wit or what it is. But this is the first time trying this style. I've heard a lot about it. We've got the Chainbreaker White IPA.
And, what if wheat wasn't the goal in itself? It says that right here.
And
what?
Here's the funny thing. So when black IPAs came out, people were like, what the hell's going on? They're like, they're losing their shit over this. Uh-huh. And someone joked, and I want to say it was Jagoff Brewer, uh-huh, was saying, just wait till somebody makes a white IPA. It's somebody down at, as is tradition, down at Piper's.
Yes.
Someone said, wait till someone makes a white IPA, and we're like, that's not going to happen. Who would do that? Well,
that probably was Andy. That sounds like something he would say.
And you know what? Someone probably went out west and had it there and came back and said that being a smartass.
Yeah.
Because a lot of us were like, white IPAs? How the hell are you going to pull that off? Because so most wits are between like 10 and 20 IBUs, and IPAs start roughly, what, 40? That's why I'm like,
and you're near the bottom end.
So my head's going like, no, math, that can't happen. That doesn't work like that. Well, apparently it has. Uh-huh. So that brings us to the Chainbreaker White IPA, which I should have a clip for that also.
My name is Jacob Harper, and I am a brewer and barrel master extraordinaire at Deschutes Brewery, 10 years and counting. Chainbreaker kind of kicks off the mountain bike season because it's one of the first races of the year. There's lots of mechanical failures, lots of broken chains, lots of flat tires. It's really a hybrid beer. We kind of created our own style between a wheat beer and an IPA. I think there's a few similarities, possibly the grittiness of a wheat beer with the dirt in your teeth that you get from this bike race. I have worked on the racking line, on the bottle line, in the shipping departments. I spent about a year in the cellar and kind of worked my way into the brew house 8 years ago, and I've been brewing and taking care of all of our barrel-aged beer since. We have the freedom to brew in three multiple brew houses on three different sizes. I have 700 casks, probably the largest barrel inventory in the United States. This is a beer I think that I'm sure it's probably been done before, but there's not very many in the market, and I think this is an absolute risk for us to take. Chainbreaker would be a cougar, because much like the beer and the mountain bikers here in Central Oregon, it is fast, elusive, and very mysterious. Chainbreaker, damn tasty beer.
I know from tasting this before which direction I think this ends up going in. I'm curious to hear what you think.
I still love that damn tasty beer.
Yeah.
Head dies very fast on that. Wow, that looks like a wit. This looks like this looks like a Belgian white. It looks like a Belgian white, like a standard Belgian white. It's very cloudy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's see.
I've got a little yeast floating in the bottom of my glass.
Whoa. I would not call this an IPA. Wow, I wouldn't even be close to calling this an IPA.
That's where I went as well.
It's very crisp. This is definitely a summer beer. Oh, my God, yes. Well, you get like the usual like coriander to it. Mm-hmm. Like get your fruits, or your citrus to it. Yeah, it's
I was thinking, okay, is this going to be what we think of as a Belgian IPA? It's not.
No.
The hops aren't prominent enough. And this definitely is much closer to the profile of a wit. I like that. It's more of a just kind of a different a variation of a wit to me. The hops are a little more prominent than you might expect.
Yes.
From a normal wit. And I love this. I freaked out over this beer because it was last week when it was hot and I did some stuff and I came home and it's like I cracked one of these open. I'm like, dude, yeah, this is perfect. But it's the thing that's really striking is that for me that this is in my experience anyway, this is absolutely unique. Because it's not a Belgian IPA, it's not an IPA, it's not really a wit, although I think if you're trying to squeeze it into a category, I think that's the one that you go with because that's the closest. But I dig this one.
Yeah, I think it's just because of BJCP guidelines that they're putting this into the IPA because of the IBUs. It is it's 5.6% alcohol, 55 IBUs, 180 calories.
I was going to ask you about the calories.
I'm all about the calories because you know what? This better be on my Fitness Pal. If not, I'm putting it on. But yeah, you know, I like this though. It's this tastes like summer to me. And it's as much as you know, people will dog and like Blue Moon and some of those other the macros that make it. Like Blue Moon actually makes a decent like Belgian white, or not the Belgian white, but like they have a decent summer ale. I'm not saying I'm gonna go out and buy a case of it or six pack, but if someone offers you one, don't like toss away. Sure. But this, take this with you, and give it to that person, and say, yeah, I think you need to try this. You should drink this. This is fantastic. I think it might be a little bit much on the citrus side,
okay,
just for my taste.
Okay,
but I think it's fantastic beer.
And I'm not sure. I mean, certainly there would be citrus. You would expect that with a wit. But I also wonder about the hops contributing to that as well. I'm not sure the answer to that question, but it could come from either way.
I could get that from the Citra hops that are used in it. So the four hops that are used in this are Bravo, Citrus, Centennial, and Cascade. Again with the Cascade. Thank you.
Cascade.
Citra, yeah. I will definitely get it with the Citra. I didn't even think of that before. It's definitely getting something off the Citra. Centennial, probably. I don't remember what I had with Bravo before, so I can't really say like what that profile is like, but it's a damn good beer.
I was, as I said, when I cracked this open, one of the warmer evenings we had about a week ago here in Pittsburgh, and I just like, oh yeah, this is exactly what I needed.
Now, so here's what's cool too. So on the side of the bottle, it says pouring tip: pour 2/3 in a tilted glass, swirl what's left around in the bottle, resume pouring in all its hazy glory. And there is still some of it left in here. So let me finish that. That's, you know what, they're two for two with me. I'm digging this. I'm definitely not an unhappy person. I'm a happy person.
Lousy Oregon hippies.
Damn hippies. Unfortunately, this brings us to another question.
Okay.
This one comes in from Al. How about those pens? Oh, never mind.
Where's Al from?
Let's see. Al, does your profile show up when I... Al's profile does not show... Oh, wait, there it is. Where is Al from? Al does not have where he's from on here.
I think we can probably...
I'm guessing Philadelphia.
Yes. Yeah, you know, that sure.
I'm guessing most things come from Philadelphia.
Could be New York, but probably. Boy, you know, it's almost indefensible. I could say something about 1975. I could do that.
Or he could be a Rangers fan. We don't know. Which, if that's the case, then...
1994. They stole it.
Hey!
Long freaking time ago.
Long time... yeah. Graduated that year.
I graduated that year from college.
It's not too bad.
And that was after my detour in the Army. So that should have happened sooner, but that was the year I was covering hockey at Ohio University, a very good club hockey program there. And the guy who broadcasted play-by-play for OU hockey games was a huge Rangers fan. So
he was relentless.
Oh God, yeah, it was bad. It was great. I mean, he's good. He was a good guy. Got to you know, see dream come true, because that hadn't happened for the Rangers for quite a while.
Well, they won in 1984.
This was 1994, and before that, it had been a long time. It had been decades.
Oh, I'm thinking Edmonton. Never mind.
Yeah.
Wasn't
40 years or something stupid like that?
Wasn't 1994 the year that Messier said that guaranteed the win?
Yes. Okay. That was the one. That was. It's cool finals to watch. No question. And nothing's happened since for the Rangers. So. And if you're a Flyers fan, you know, just I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, and as being a Penguins fan, speaking for myself, there's a reason why I didn't get playoff tickets this year, because I didn't think that they would go past the second round.
I was actually concerned, because I'm an Ohio guy, I pay attention to the Blue Jackets. I was concerned about the first round series. I'm still a Pens fan first and foremost, but youth, a lot of speed. And certainly, you know, good goaltending. I looked at that first round series. I'm like, oh man, that actually could be a problem for Pittsburgh. And then you get into the second round against the Rangers, and there were a couple games where they put forth the effort they needed to, and then a couple more. I don't know what the hell happened.
You blow that 3-1 lead, and
yeah. So,
well, it happens. Season's over. We're minus a GM right now. I really don't think Bylsma is going to be around much longer. I think this is this is just like state of execution. It's wrong, man. There's no way.
And I'm not sure why the ownership did that the way they did. I can't imagine unless there is a coach they know they want. And they're aware of something's going to happen later on during the off season. I can't imagine if Bylsma's truly lost the team, he's got to go.
Yeah. So, I don't think he could ever just pull through when they needed the coach to come through big time. And if it is true that Sidney and those guys gave up, well then that's Sid's fault. You're a leader. You're the leader of the team. Grow up and deal with it.
Yes.
So, anyways. So, there you go, Al. Thanks for bringing up that wound.
Thanks, Al. Cheers.
Thanks. Thanks, Al. Cheers. Jag. Glad I could get that one off my screen now. So, as we're savoring this,
yes,
getting ready for the final beer, there is a subject that does not sit well.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure if we were – make sure I get the mic close enough. I wasn't sure if I was going to address this or not, but it's something that I felt I needed to because – well, first of all, Brad's not here, so we're not going to hear MF-er every other word as he describes this. As him and I have talked about this, and I don't think I can drain him long enough. But the for those of you who aren't following us, go to shoulddrinkthat.com. There's links to our Facebook and our Google Plus and our Twitter accounts and everything else that we do with social media and on the web. Google Plus is where we hang out a lot because there's a lot of craft beer fans out there. We have a good time with it, so check us out there. Facebook, we're almost at 1,000 people, so if you're not following us, follow us now. Facebook.com/shouldidrinkthat. And you would know about stuff like this. In the state of Pennsylvania, we cannot go to a corner store and buy a six-pack of beer We can't go to a beer distributor and buy. Actually, most people, I don't even know if they have beer distributors in other states. Is that how that works?
If you need to buy a keg in Ohio, you go to a distributor.
All
other retail stuff, you go to a grocery store, you go to a convenience store.
And here in the fine state of Pennsylvania, if you want to buy a case of beer, you have to go to a distributor, which has cases and kegs, and I think some have sixtals. Don't see too many of them. Mm-hmm. Basically, buying beer in the state of Pennsylvania is a pain in the ass. Mm-hmm. If you want to buy a six-pack, you got to go to a six-pack shop, like Giant Eagle, who creates a deli and sells beer, or Whole Foods, or you have to go through a lot of steps just to buy a six-pack of beer. And it goes the same thing for wine, too. You can only buy wine at the state-ran stores. Mm-hmm. Well, our governor's trying to get that taken care of. He's trying to get the, trying to privatize alcohol sales in the state of Pennsylvania. Well, that's got some people upset, mostly union people. So the UFCW, which is the United Food and Commercial Workers Local 1776, go America, has started running ads against the privatization of alcohol in Pennsylvania. I'm going to play the ads for you. And Uncle Grappy, I don't know if you've heard both of the ads. I know you've heard at least one of them.
I have.
There are two. The first one that I'm going to play is one that they have officially put on their site. The second one was given to us from a YouTube link that could or could not be from this group. We're not 100% sure, but it's right along those lines, so we're going to go with that anyways, because who needs to be responsible on the internet? So our first one is going to be of just to give you an idea, there's two moms sitting in a playground talking. As a stay-at-home dad, I've never heard a conversation like this ever happen between dads or moms or anything. Just listen and let me know what you guys think.
You know, some Harrisburg politicians want to give big companies the right to sell beer and wine in supermarkets, big box stores, even gas stations?
That would be so dangerous for kids, having alcohol available in so many places.
I read the same kind of law in North Carolina is killing one child every week.
Oh, my. And I heard wine and spirit stores generate hundreds of millions in profit and taxes. It saves us money.
So politicians want booze to be sold in stores where kids and teens go. And lose the pot of money that saves tax dollars, too?
It's about greed, pure and simple.
Well, it only takes a little bit of greed to kill a child.
Don't let politicians turn convenience stores into bar rooms. Tell your state senator and state representative to say no to liquor privatization.
There are so many things wrong with that.
Boy, that makes me crazy. That makes me crazy. To understand, if you don't live in PA and you're not familiar, the union, the local union that produces these, represents only the employees of the state-owned liquor stores. That is their interest. That is the interest that they're trying to protect. The interest that they are trying to pick is built on a system that was constructed shortly after the end of Prohibition. Our liquor laws go back that far. It's infuriating. There are a lot of things that are reasons for legitimate debate about how privatization should occur. There are a lot of legitimate interests that should be considered. I did a story for my newspaper a couple weeks ago, just kind of looking at one slice of this, because there's a scaled back privatization proposal was trying to get started in the state Senate, and this would have given current retail beer distributors, the ones that we go to in Pennsylvania to buy cases, the ability to sell six packs or 12 packs. depending on the version of the proposal, they could have been able to sell wine or could have been able to sell liquor. Although most of the folks that I talked to weren't interested in that level. But selling six packs, yes, that's something that they want very badly. And this would be a huge change for them. Some are looking forward to it, and some of the distributor owners, you know, they're a little worried about it because it would mean, you know, physical changes for their store. They've got to add more storage. You got to add more cooler space. There's a lot of things to consider. But those are all legitimate questions about how this should change and how this should work. The hatchet job, the hack job ads that this union has done, and this is not a new thing for them. This is their union leadership tends to show up when there are legitimate discussions about how privatization should occur. Their union leadership shows up. They're obnoxious. They're not interested in actual discussion about these issues. They are interested only in protecting, you know, these are real people, and I understand that, but it's a few thousand people compared to, you know, the number of consumers that we have in Pennsylvania. It's infuriating to hear this kind of garbage. They could be contributing to the discussion, and they've chosen one path, and that is to protect what they got right now. And we're gonna put up some stuff it's unbelievable. It's not factual. But it looks and sounds scary, so, you know, maybe we'll gain some traction with that. And I can't stand it. I cannot stand it.
Well, that said, here is the second clip.
Oh, this is even better.
When I saw this, my jaw dropped like, you've got to be freaking kidding me.
Yeah.
The scene is a young girl standing over a coffin at the cemetery.
You'll never walk me down the aisle on my wedding day or send me off to college. And you'll never even see me graduate high school. A drunk driver took your life and changed mine forever.
Thanks to current laws and the effectiveness of the wine and spirit stores employees, Pennsylvania has the lowest death rate associated with alcohol consumption in the nation. Tell your state senator to say no to liquor privatization. We don't want other children to lose their parents.
My God.
Okay, now, and what I'm going to start with, is the tagline at the end of that spot where it said Pennsylvania has the lowest number of, and I don't remember exactly what they said, just a number of underage, number of alcohol fatalities, arrests.
I believe it was number of fatalities.
Okay. This is from the Foundation for Advancing Alcohol Responsibility. This is a group that would be in favor of privatization in Pennsylvania. So I want to make sure that you understand they have a perspective as well. 2012 Ohio alcohol impaired driving fatality data. This is all taken from national data. And compiled for this site. Total alcohol impaired driving fatalities, 385. Pennsylvania, total alcohol impaired driving fatalities, 409. Let's keep in mind that Ohio is a state where you can buy beer and wine in grocery stores, and the state divested it the retail sales of liquor at this point probably close to 20 years ago. If we want to be concerned about the children, I don't even like getting into numbers like this because it's crass. It's a very, very cold way to look at this. But this is what the union that has done these two ads wants us to look at. This is what they're hanging their hats on, and they're not even being factual. Under 21 alcohol impaired driving fatalities, again from 2012, 44 in Pennsylvania, 39 in Ohio, again in a state where you can buy beer and wine in grocery stores or convenience stores.
Here's something that kills me with this whole thing. And sorry for interrupting, because it's
not going to please.
It really got me thinking with it. So their complaints are that alcohol would be more readily available in grocery stores and places where people shop, but yet every Giant Eagle sells beer. Mm-hmm. Some sell wine, but everyone sells beer. Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen drunk driving fatalities go up in our state. And they've been still doing it for a couple years now, at least 2 or 3 years. What's Giant Eagle going to say when they hear this ad and go, okay, these guys are now going against us because we're making a shit ton of money off the beer community coming in here and buying product off of us?
Mm-hmm. We've had grocery store sales where the chains like Wegmans or Giant out east or Giant Eagle here have been able to take advantage of the restaurant license loophole. For those of you who aren't aware, you actually have to build a separate physical space. It can be in the same building, but it has to have a separate cash register, separate seating, and they have a separate license for a cafe where they sell food, and they also sell six packs of beer or single servings of beer for those who are eating inside. This has been around for a while, and the figures that I quoted are from 2012, and that is well after this loophole really started to take hold in Pennsylvania. When did Market District open? Because that was the kind of the first one in
which
our area.
The Robinson one?
Yeah. That was easy.
I'm trying to think when you and I went, because that was 10, 11, something like that?
Yeah.
It was somewhere around in there.
So that's something that's been in place for a while. Plus, six pack shops, Three Sons in Wexford. We were going to that place long before.
Brad and I were going to that one when we started the show. I think that's when we found out about that.
Yeah,
that's where we were buying from.
This stuff is nothing new, and in fact. Some of the current proposals, the stuff that I wrote about earlier this spring, actually did not touch liquor sales. I mean these proposals are scaled back to the degree that they leave liquor sales, both wholesale and retail, in the hands of the state for right now. While moving wine into grocery stores and expanding what retail wholesalers can do, retail beer wholesalers can do as far as the selection that they're allowed to offer.
So I put this question out to our fans, and for those of you new to the show, we do have the SIDT Drunk Dial Hotline, which is our voicemail system. If you call and leave us a message, there's a good chance we'll probably get on the show. And we had a pretty good response when I said, here are the ads. What are your responses to this? What do you guys think about it? And while people did call us intoxicated, which we encourage, if you're going to call somebody, that's what the hotline's there for. Call us while you've been drinking instead of calling your wife or your ex or your boss, especially your boss. Don't do that. Call the Drunk Dial Hotline, 412-223-7438. And we got some very good phone calls. I want to play two of the calls. I picked out two of the best ones that we had. One is short and sweet to the point. The other one is, I think, expresses and captures a lot of the anger that many of us have. And this one is actually from somebody in Michigan. So I'm going to play those two quick. Let me know what you think afterwards. I think this does sum up a lot of what we've been talking about. Let me make sure I get the right one here. Okay, here we go.
Well, hello, guys. This is Mr. Liquor Bread calling into the show, and congratulations on your 100th episode. I want to comment on this bullshit Pennsylvania he bitches on this video. I don't live in Pennsylvania, so I can't comment on any of the legislative political bullshit that goes on in that state. But I have visited Pennsylvania, and I know you have to buy your beer and your alcohol at a fucking government store. Okay? I've seen other states, a couple other states do that, but I think they've gone away from that. I've also heard, and I don't know if this is fact or fiction, but then when you go there, you have to buy it in a case. I can't go there and buy a 6-pack or a 12-pack. I got to buy a whole fucking case. You know what? Brother man's got to work and eat too. Maybe he can only afford a 6-pack, bitches. But anyways, that's beside the point. I'm watching these two bitches, these two moms, sitting on the playground talking about that they're going to be upset because beer is going to, and liquor and wine is going to be sold in convenience stores, in grocery stores. You know what? It pisses me off, too, because I don't know how many fucking times I've been in a grocery store and a pack of fucking teenagers or even 8-year-olds have been just wandering the fucking store all by themselves, buying up all the motherfucking condoms and cigarettes in the place. Fucking wrecking. They're outside partying. God damn. Seriously, though, these two ladies sitting on the park bench bitching about this, they need to be better parents. Yeah, maybe one kid dies every week in North Carolina from underage drinking, but that's because those kids are out in the backwoods fucking helping their dad make fucking moonshine in a still. Why don't you be a fucking parent, keep your kid at home, and teach him what's right and wrong? Then have him go out in the real world, and maybe he'll make the correct decisions. Fuck you, Pennsylvania. Get off the fucking pot and be like everyone else in the other United States and sell your shit wherever you want. Because Aknad in the damn convenience store, he wants to fucking sell beer. He wants to be able to sell 3-year-old Dogfish Head 120 to the next guy. Just fucking do it. It's like how it is everywhere else in the fucking United States. So I am against these two women bitching about this. Pennsylvania should privatize the whole damn beer, liquor, wine, and all that other shit. Fuck, might as well throw marijuana in the fucking mix, too, and just make it all fucking easy for everybody. Anyways, that's just me, Mr. Liquid Bread. Peace out, bitches.
Someone's going to follow that?
Gary, I was just calling in regards to the commercials against selling beer in grocery stores in Pennsylvania, which I find to be absolutely ridiculous. I haven't actually looked into the statistics that they claim to have that it will increase drunk driving deaths, but from a logical perspective, it absolutely makes no sense. And I wish organizations like this would focus on real issues like education, wellness, and a variety of other issues that can actually impact our community for the better instead of stupid issues like this. So this was my opinion, and I hope you get other people to do the same. Thanks. Bye.
There you go. Those are our two calls that we had. I wanted to play for you guys.
Tough to argue with either one.
If you haven't had the chance, Mr. Liquid Bread is someone you definitely need to take a few minutes and grab a beer and check out on YouTube.
Yeah, okay.
He's called into our show several times. We talked to him on Google Hangouts. He has a show up there in Michigan. And we talk about the beer laws in between our states a lot, and you know, we share beer stories, and it's like he's very knowledgeable with beer, and also he shares our sense of humor and language. So, and Carrie is a new fan that we started talking to, and she brings up great points too. It's just hi, Carrie, welcome to the show. Welcome to Should I Drink That? Both of them great points. It's just it's bullshit. Mm-hmm. It's absolute bullshit. Just present the facts. How much longer do we have to put up with people just fabricating things? The whole political season's starting to ramp up again with elections. So we're going to see more of this.
Yes. And yes, we will. Yes, we will.
It's just it's frustrating. Who's listening to this?
I imagine we're going to see Tom Wolf win the Democratic nomination. I have to wonder if privatization will actually could become a minor campaign issue for the governor's race between Corbett and Tom Wolf. I'm curious to see how that goes. Corbett's desire to just kind of broadly privatize the whole thing clearly has not gained any traction. And I'm interested in seeing how some of the smaller proposals would do, whether whether we're talking about support from Corbett, who wants a bigger thing, support from conservative Republicans who are going to back what Corbett wants, and how that might play with Democrats who, once you take the union part out of this issue, because we're just talking about beer and wine, I'm curious to see what they do with it as well. And by the way, since they use North Carolina as an example, in 2012 against this is using the same statistics I was quoting earlier. 2012, total alcohol impaired driving fatalities in North Carolina 402, Pennsylvania 409. Let's
ooh.
Make sure we understand what the union was trying to tell us and what the numbers actually are.
Well, I've showed several parents that video. Uh-huh. And I just said, is this just not happening at the parks that I go to? Do people really have these conversations? Because being a stay-at-home dad, I want to know these things. Like, uh-huh. Am I missing out? And most of them have said, have you never talked to another parent? Most of us drink. We joke about drinking. We day drinking. Moms love wine. Dads love beer. That's like our common ground, like where we don't fight is we talk about beer and wine. It's just watching, I'm like, this is just absurd that this conversation would never happen anywhere. Well, maybe in Utah it could happen. Or if they were Amish. Well, no, Amish people drink moonshine.
We've got Amish people here. They're fine.
I watch Amish Mafia. I know these things. I actually know Amish people, so it's, mm-hmm. I know that eventually everyone drinks something. Mm-hmm.
I'm not drinking anything at the moment. Can we fix that?
Yes, but I definitely want to make sure we got this topic in before the last beer, and we're actually doing awesome on time right now. Since we started a little bit late, we're running perfect with time, and let's get to the final beer of the evening. And I just now realized I don't have and I have to work on this. If anybody out there would like to come up with some theme music for us, we're looking to change it up a little bit. If you want to come up with new theme music or less beer music, let us know, fatherspoon at shouldidrinkthat.com or webmaster at shouldidrinkthat.com. Go to our page, fill out the contact form. It's all good. We'll figure that out. Let us know. We're big into supporting local musicians, but if anybody out there wants to get their music on our show, let us know. And we're always up for giving away swag. Speaking of swag, Miss Chris Dilla, this one is for you. Big Pour 4. It's all about the Bocktown. I honestly tried to find the oldest bottle opener that I had since we've been doing Should I Drink That, and it's down to Big Pour 4, or this one that I got from, I think, the second beer on the bay.
I have one of those. And I don't think that came from Erie, though. That came from somewhere down here.
These guys are from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that might have actually come from one of the first couple Big Pours, maybe?
Good chance. So when we met these guys at like the first few year on the bays, they kept saying, oh yeah, come on over, we'll talk to you, yeah, put us on your show. I'm like, we're a Pittsburgh show, so you know, let's help each other out here. I'm sure some of our fans could probably use your help. If you guys didn't see it, this is a liquor licensing and enforcement defense attorneys. So you could probably get some use out of these guys.
It's good to open.
And every time we went over to talk to them, they didn't want to talk to us. They're like, well, who are you? I'm like, we just talked to you. Like, are you drinking? Because we talked to you 10 minutes ago. Anyways, so our final beer of the evening. Is Black Butte. Butte. Order. The one that Uncle Crappy here was loving on.
Uh-huh. Let's see. I'm just reading because I had not noticed this until the other ones before. Our creamy contrary flagship, a dark zig to the usual zag. Join us outside the lines is the very best place to play.
So, right on the 5.2%, 30 IBUs, 192 calories. Oh, yeah. And as we're getting ready to pour this, let's hear what the brewery has to say about it.
A hippie radical that stands on learning.
Let's try it again.
One of the most amazing statements that Larry the Brewmaster said when I first got the position was, work to dump a beer. work to that edge where you're not in your comfort zone, and it doesn't matter if you dump it because then you're stretching yourself that far. My history with Deschutes began with just falling in love with the town first. I do come with a scientific background. I have a biology degree, but I came into brewing definitely hands-on learning from brewers that have 10 years of experience, and I've been learning every day since. Black Bean Porter is our flagship beer, and for a craft brewery to have a porter as their flagship, I know is just something that it's not done. A butte is something that is below 10,000 feet, and it does stand out as a huge black cone. One of my favorite things about Black Butte is that you'll get someone a sample of it, maybe they're not even beer drinkers, and they say, no, I actually don't even like beer. Beer as a large subject, not just dark beer. And you hand them Black Butte Porter, and they say, oh, I like that. Black Butte Porter is one of those amazing beers that you have a ton of different flavors, all from the different types of dark malts. We aren't being radical with the spices in this beer. This is a true ale, just malt, hops, yeast, and water. Black Butte Porter, damn tasty beer.
And you know, they've been nailing that damn tasty lately. It's us two are definitely damn tasty.
There's gotta be
this just smells fantastic. It does. This is chocolatey, roasty. Ooh. That's a lot lighter in body than I was expecting.
It is. That's,
wow.
That's, and that is a cool thing.
Oh, toasty. I wasn't expecting that.
There's a lot going on in this. But even so, it is not a heavyweight, which is I think is a cool thing that really works for me. Chocolate's pretty prominent. Terrific roasted flavor. You still catch hops, and I think Cascade in this one also, if I remember.
Yes.
The notes. Yeah. There you go.
I don't get the creamy mouthfeel that they say, but I get the hop bitterness up front.
Yeah.
And the chocolate and the roasted finish. Oh dear God, yes, the roasted finish. Coming from someone who is just now starting to get into coffee drinking. Mm-hmm. Wow.
is that out of necessity for you to learning the coffee thing for the first time?
That is out of my family buying me Starbucks gift cards.
Nice. Yes.
Even though people are telling me that Starbucks is not really coffee, but you know what? I like it, so I don't. Mm-hmm. And I believe 9% out of every gift card goes to my kids' tuition. So.
Oh, we like that. Sure.
Catholic schools. Here we go. I'm drinking coffee now. What I said I wouldn't do. Yes, we actually shop a lot at Starbucks and Home Depot and Giant Eagle because of sure. that reason.
Sure, I understand that. And we appreciate your support of Giant Eagle, or of Home Depot, actually.
I am always I have been a Home Depot guy since day one.
Standing.
And I've been a big advocate of Home Depot. I can't stand Lowe's.
Okay.
I think Lowe's, I don't know what it is about Lowe's that just angers me when I go in there. I'm just like, it doesn't feel like a hardware store. It feels like, you know, there should be rainbows and unicorns and like Happy World. Like, you know what it's like? I feel like when I go to Lowe's, it should be like when Eddie Valiant goes into Toon World and Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Right.
Is it Toon World or whatever that is? Toonville? Yes.
Toon Land.
Yeah, when he goes through that tunnel and it opens up and everyone says, that's what I feel like when I go into Lowe's. I'm like, I don't want this. I want to know where my shit's at and I want to go get it and leave. And maybe talk to somebody about painting or, like, I got to stain my deck this summer. I want to talk to somebody about that. I don't want to have, like, hey, how are you doing today? Yay!
Since Mrs. Crappy's been working at our local Home Depot, I'm learning where everything is in the store for the first time.
And I'm not saying that because she works there either. It's because I am a Home Depot fan.
Yeah, we know we are too. We got a dishwasher from Lowe's, and getting that installed, and we did that through the store was such an incredible pain in the ass, and that sort of colored my opinion of Lowe's. So and then when we moved to where we do, we have a kick-ass local hardware store in Bellevue, and we make an effort to work with them whenever we can. But
the True Value.
Yeah.
Fantastic place. I frequented that when I lived in Bellevue both times.
And it's always worth a look. And then we have our gleaming Home Depot at the top of the hill on Mount Nebo, in Camp Horn Road. So, sort of the best of both worlds. Best of both worlds. But no Lowe's in sight.
I really dig the grittiness of Home Depot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I don't feel like I'm not given a bunch of fluff when I go in there. Like they're pretty straightforward with me. Say, look, this is the deal. Here's what's gonna work. Here's what's not gonna work.
Yes.
Now, this is a disconnect from the rest of my family because my dad and my mom are big Lowe's fans.
Oh boy.
But yeah, but also in Erie, Lowe's is huge. Home Depot, like no one goes to Home Depot in Erie. Huh, everyone goes to Lowe's. I think it's just because of location, and like Home Depot's kind of a pain in the ass to get to on Beach Street, whereas Lowe's you can kind of sneak in and out. And
okay, that would make sense.
One of those things. Plus, their colors are red, white, and blue, and everyone's very American.
Home Depot, the Cleveland Browns colors, sort of. That I don't know. And I mean, I know that.
I let it slide.
Okay. I was just trying to figure it out here.
I'm not like a big. I'm actually not really big into football, so it's like. Whatever, I don't care if it's Browns colors, because it's kind of similar to my high school colors, so we'll go with that.
Yeah, okay, that works.
But hey, beer!
Yes.
Good beer.
The thing that I was going to say was, you are right about the mouthfeel. Like, this is lighter, and I had not seen the brewery's description of this before. This is lighter than that description would have you believe. But not a light beer. Just it's not maybe as chunky as you might expect. A something that the brewery says is a flagship.
It's dark in color. Like I know a lot of people that listen to our show are fans of Southern Tier.
Mm-hmm.
So when they see dark beers, they think of like Choclot, which is a thicker beer. It's not like that.
Not that at all.
I'm trying to think of the other beers that people have asked us about, and it's hard to explain because when you're getting into craft beers, you see dark, you're thinking like oil, you're thinking sludge, you're thinking mm-hmm. thick and mm-hmm. chewy, and this isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Some
of those are my favorite beers ever. I mean, it's like when you almost have to talk about them by viscosity level. You know?
Yes.
I love those. I love that stuff. But the thing, and especially if you're talking about a porter, I mean, it's craft breweries can maybe go too far in one direction. You can take a style sort of outside what the normal traditional expectations are. And maybe with a porter that's sort of happened. I would think that this is where it should be. If we're talking about kind of what a traditional porter is, I see on the show notes I have another example to talk about if we have time to get to Hitchhiker, because they have a nice a porter, and I'd have to look up the name. It is not a hefty beer. It's good, great mouthfeel. It's not a beefy, chunky, big thing. It is a good traditional English porter, and that's kind of similar to what this is.
Well, since you brought up Hitchhiker, and we do have them on the news here, let's talk about these guys. There are two new breweries. One has opened or soft opened, and one will be opening. Uh-huh. The Brew Gentleman, who we've heard about from the last year and a half, is finally going to open on the 21st. of this month.
I've seen lots of Instagram pictures from their place over the weekend, so they're doing some. They have a soft opening thing going on, I think.
This is going to be like the most high tech brewery I think that we have in Pittsburgh from two guys that haven't really brewed much before, which really surprised me. But I've talked to these guys at Bocktown, and yeah, I mean they make some good beers. I'm not saying they make like, oh my god, I have to go out there and get it right now. It's I think it was their white, is it their chai tea beer? It's been about a year since I've had it, but I remember drinking like their chai beer, and I'm thinking, damn, this is pretty good. And they're like, well, we only have like two beers right now, but we're going to have more beers coming up. And yeah, like, also, I've seen the pictures too. If this place is as fantastic as it looks like on their feeds, this is going to be a great brewery.
It looks beautiful.
It's at least going to be fun to check out.
Yep.
That's for sure. But the big one that I've been dying to get to, which I haven't yet, and it's mostly because they did their soft opening on Mother's Day weekend, Hitchhiker. Our beloved Jagoff Brewer is the head brewer. Someone gave this guy a brewery.
And he hasn't done anything to that would convince you that he didn't deserve it. I showed up on soft opening day, like 5 afternoon. And they were already too deep at the bar. They just got buried on opening day. So you didn't even really have time to talk to Andy at all. He was hustling. Gary, the owner, was hustling as well. The cool thing is I went and talked to them last week about, and I'm going to be doing one of my shows, the next show about them. They have what turns out to be a pretty cool sort of collaborative view. I mean, if you've been paying attention to Beer in Pittsburgh, you know what Andy can do because you've seen him at the homebrew tables at festivals, or doing collaboration beers for Beer Week. Gary's an accomplished homebrewer in his own right, and they have already developed a really solid working relationship. Some of these recipes are Gary's that Andy has kind of helped tweak a little bit. Some of the recipes are Andy's, and Gary has input on how this stuff, on how Andy's recipes, get finished up. And that portends well. I mean, they really seem to have a kind of solid grounding of how this is going to work, even as new as they are. And beer's good. Oh, it's good. Andy's IPA is... very, very dud. He loves using the word dank to describe it, and it is that. There's a lot of citrus. And on the other hand, Gary's Kolsch is the base of that recipe, and it's I tasted that for the show as well, and it's delicious. It's a very kind of very soft. There's a little hint of Pilsner in the back. A little floral. It's something that's very approachable, which is what they want for that one. But they've got a good list going, including the porter that I mentioned before already. So go to Mount Lebanon. Go check them out. It's good stuff.
Now here's the nice thing. So you've been to my house before, so you know where I live in the South Hills. This brewery is 3 minutes from my house, I think.
that long?
Maybe five. It could be five. I'm going to go five just because of traffic lights.
Sure.
And the first time I went by there, I'm like, there's a liquor sign on that building. I'm like, that used to be a tea shop. I think much of it. And then when I went by, I got a little bit closer. I'm reading it. I'm like, okay, this is kind of cool. And Andy and I were talking about it. And honestly, didn't think much of it. And when he got laid off, I'm like, oh, dude, that's got to fucking suck. And then he's like, dude, you're not going to believe this. I got hired by a hitchhiker. I'm like, wait, the place in Mount Lebanon? I go, that's actually a brewery? I thought they were just going to be like a six-pack shop. And he started telling me about it. I'm like, son of a bitch, you're putting a brewery in there. That's perfect. Because now if anyone's familiar with the South Hills of Pittsburgh, you're going to go West Liberty through Mount Lebanon. Mm-hmm. Take a left at the easiest way to do it is, well, there's two ways. Either take a left at the library if you go through Mount Lebanon, or if you get the Scott Road, you can take a left down Scott, and Scott will take you down to Mount Lebanon Boulevard, which will get you right up there. Take a right at the pub and pizza. It's a very small place, which surprised me that they're fitting a brewery in there. But when he showed me the pictures, I'm like, son of a bitch, you did that. You fit that in there.
Yeah.
You don't realize like how – well, it's tight quarters.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm anxious to see this myself because I know from going up to Shoebrew up in Zeeley, that's a small spot too.
And the only hint I'll give you is you can actually stand up all the way in the basement of a hitchhiker.
Well, that was the thing that we told Zach up at Shoebrew. I'm like, dude, I'm like hunchback in here. He's like, yeah, but I got to fit. I'm like, I'll give you credit, man, because Zach's making great beer up in Zeeley too.
Yeah.
And I've had Andy's beers for years, and he's only been brewing for like 3 or 4 years, I think. Mm-hmm. And he's turned out fantastic beer. So people, if you get the chance, check out Hitchhiker. There's going to be a link to it on the shouldidrinkthat.com website. Yeah, I'm so excited for him because he's one of those guys that, you know, we bust balls a lot, but the dude makes good beer.
He does. Like, he does. And he totally deserved this shot.
I was just busting him for him once over his pumpkin beer because it was too boozy. and he pretended that he went into this like depression thing, and then you know what happened next? Seaback shows up with a video camera, and all of a sudden he's the happiest guy in the world.
Right.
Yeah, so there you go.
Oh, that's good.
So for the beers this evening, all three I think are fantastic to shoot. Thank you for coming to Pittsburgh.
Absolutely.
Great beers.
Welcome to Western PA. We are happy you're here.
Yes, and if you do need more people to drink your beers, send some our way. We'll help you knock down those numbers a little bit.
Sure.
And Uncle Crappy, do you have anything you'd like to pimp out for what you've been working on?
The beer show has been going really well, and as I mentioned, the next one will be about Hitchhiker. So I got a tour there, got to sit down and talk and taste with Gary and Andy a little bit. You can find that at timesonline.com. There's a link to Beer Guy right on the homepage. So go take a look at the videos. You'll find one from Beer Week, which involves me and this ridiculous sign that I sort of lost control of my life during Beer Week, and there were pictures taken with this sign and the hashtag of Beer Guy Selfie, and I'm still not sure what happened. It was fun.
It's pretty cool.
I got to meet a whole bunch of new people, but the idea of celebrity for someone who's basically a print journalism person is very, very odd. So it took me pretty much the whole week to get used to the notion that this was even happening. But a lot of fun, a lot of fun. Go search Twitter for hashtag Beer Guy Selfie. You'll still see a bunch of them. You'll see the video as well. It was.
We'll link to the hashtag for you.
Okay.
So people can go to our site and check it out. And we'll have links to everything you're working on. I think the banner was fantastic. Are you going to have it anywhere else now? Or was this just a Craft Beer Week thing?
This was not a specific Beer Week thing. So I imagine at some point it's gonna show up again. I have no idea where. I don't know.
I can't wait to take a selfie with it. That's on my list of that's on my beer bucket list for 2014.
Nice. Okay. Okay, we'll make sure that happens. I gotta bring it to your house.
We can hang it up. Well, right now I'm in my dining room, so it probably wouldn't fit in here, but I'm sure we could fit. You know what? Since Brad is the single guy, I think we should just deck out his living room for it. At one point, his house was actually our studio.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
we had he had a room dedicated to SIDT, mm-hmm. and then I think his family came over and said, "What the hell are you doing?" And now that room is where he fills bullets.
Oh, okay. Because that's better.
Well, he's got a hobby.
Yeah, sure. No, and actually, we want to go shooting with him sometime. That would actually be a lot of fun.
I've actually only shot a gun once, so I would love to go out with you guys because I know him and Mrs. Crappy talk about it all the time.
Yep.
Or you and I could just sit back and drink beer while those two shoot guns.
I don't know, dude. Shooting is fun. And I've got this .22 revolver that belonged to my father that I have cleaned up, and I want to take this to a range and see what it does.
All right, the three of you can shoot guns, and I'll sit back and
okay.
Drink beer. That works.
You should give the .22 revolver. It's easy. You'll hit targets downrange. You'll be fine.
And then we
go drink beer.
That sounds like a plan.
Okay.
On that note, everyone. Thank you for checking out episode 100 for shouldidrinkthat.com. Wow, three digits now. I honestly never thought we would get to this point. I told Brad when we started this, I'm like, if we ever get to 100, I'm going to quit. And we'll see what happens, actually, at this point.
Seriously, to you and Brad, congratulations. 100, like, hundreds is a great, really cool number.
And it's when you look at other shows, we do our show once, well, we try to do our show once a month. Mm-hmm. So hitting 100 for us is a big thing. There's other shows, like we give big hat tip to the Wrestling Mayhem show, Sorgatron and those guys. Also, Awesome Cast is going to be hitting episode 300 here soon. They're a weekly show you guys need to check out, which both of us have been on.
Yep.
And it's an all-out geek out, good time. So there's a lot of great shows that are coming out of Pittsburgh. But for Deschutes, we will have links to everything that they have going on. All their social media feeds, they're big on social media, which is awesome. I love that, being a social media guy. They've got Twitter, Facebook, Google+, Instagram, YouTube, you name it, they're pretty much on it. Go to their website, deschutesbrewery.com. There'll be links, like I said, off the shouldidrinkthat.com website. And I think that's all I had. I'm going through the notes quick. I think we hit everything.
That's it?
Not bad for a... Is it Friday or Saturday?
Today's Saturday.
I had to think for a second. My kids had off midweek, so that screwed everything up for me.
Oh yeah, that would. I if that were the case, I would have no idea. If I were
well, plus we went to Erie one day too, so that really just.
Yeah.
I didn't bring back beer, but.
Yeah, you did fine. You did fine. You showed up here at the right day, so that works.
Yeah, that's true. All right then. For shouldidrinkthat.com, this is the Most Reverend Father Spoon, and that is Uncle Crappy.
Uncle Crappy, happy to join you guys. Congratulations.
Thank you. Where even if it's crap, we drink it so you don't have to. Have a good evening.
See y'all.
Bitches!